Blog Talk Radio.
Today, Father God, that we are ready to move forward in your word. We are ready to move forward with you. Father God, we ask you to increase as we decrease. Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. I thank you, Lord God, for this word today. May it be a balm in Gilead to us. Sick mind, soul, or spirit. Lord God, may it be healing. May it be refreshing. May it be a fresh wind in the desert sun. Lord God, I ask you to guide us through the word. Give us understanding and discernment that we will know what your word says and that it will come to remembrance when we need it in our arsenal, Lord God. For we know, Lord God, your word says we fight not against flesh and blood. So, Father God, we ask you to allow your angels of heaven to protect us, to fight for us, to lead us and guide us, and give us words that we must get and must need from you. Lord God, continue to watch over us. Continue to allow your Holy Spirit to ignite a fire down in our bones, that it is time to go to work for you, O God. Not for money, not for fame, not for anything, but for you. Lord God, we thank you today for waking us up, for giving us strength in our body, for giving us clear minds and spirit. We ask you again, Lord God, lead us and guide us through this word. And we lift up your name always. In the name of your holy Son and our Savior, and it's in his name, Christ Jesus, I pray, thanking you, believing you, and just saying, Lord God, I am thankful, grateful, and blessed to be called your daughter. Amen. Thankful, grateful, and blessed this morning to be a child of the Most High God. Thanking God for warmth. Thanking God for heat. Thanking God for a place to lay my head. Hallelujah. And I pray today, as always, for those that are homeless and feel helpless. Just know that your Father God, our God, is watching over you. And we'll make a way out of no way. You know, I was thinking about how good God is and not worrying, you know, having peace, that everything's going to work out. I believe it was last Friday how God works things out. I had just gotten showered, had just got everything I needed to do done and was dressed and getting ready to go to work, and all of a sudden, bam. Electricity went off. And it was cold. It was really cold outside. And understand, I live in an all-electric home. So, and my generator was stolen. So I don't have a generator backup right now, but I'm going to get one. I'm claiming that in the name of Jesus. I will have a generator. But electricity goes off. And in my case, I live on a well also. I live out in the country. I'm a country girl. And so when my electricity goes off, that means I have no water. I have no heat. I have nothing. But I have God. You know, the first thing you do is you go check the breaker. Check the breaker. Everything was fine with the breaker. So it wasn't like I knocked anything out. Called the electric company. And, of course, you're on hold forever and ever. And finally they come and they said, no, there's a power outage in your area. We're working on it. Not sure what caused it, but hopefully we'll have it up. And so I called my job and said, okay, I'm going to be a little bit late. You know, the power went off at my house and just want to see what's going on, waiting for a call back from the power company. And so I understood that basically if the electricity came back on, the problem was fixed. If not, they were going to call me back. So, you know, I'm like, calmness was over my spirit because I prayed about it. I said, Lord, let the power come back on before I leave. And if it doesn't, thank you for the fireplace. Hallelujah. And the logs to go in it. You just give God thanks, even in the midst. And you know what? Before I even left, I couldn't get, of course, no electricity, can't get the garage door up. So, you know, of course, we got the little string that comes down and it lets your door up. So, you know, even if power goes off, you can still get out of your garage. So my son's opened my garage door for me. And I still, they're looking at me like, she is so calm. I was calm because I'm like, I trust God. You know, you can't worry about stuff you can't control. I can't control the electricity. There's a grid, and if the grid goes down, then you may not have it. So you have alternatives. I have water everywhere in my house. Big old containers of water, just in case. I have a big, big, huge container of water that we can use in case of emergency. I keep bottles of water all the time, gallons of water all the time, because I understand. I need to flush toilet. You got to have some water in your bathroom. You know, those things you've got to prepare. And when we go into our lesson today, you're going to understand what I'm talking about, preparation. As we prepare for whatever may come, you know, all the folks that went out and bought every roll of toilet paper, you know, understand, yeah, I know preparation. But also you can't be selfish because there are other folks that need toilet paper too. You know, but the fact of the matter is you still got to be prepared. You know, and as we get into our New Testament word in Matthew chapter 25, you'll understand when I talk about preparation. But we have to also, and in our Proverbs word, we got to prepare our children not to get caught up in the wiles of the enemy. And you'll understand that. But in our word, this our Old Testament word, we're just understanding we got to depend on the Lord. The children of Israel, you talk about out in the desert, not knowing what's going on, but they in the Lord. They trusted God, and God is giving them instructions on how to have service, how to be clean, how to be consecrated, how to be anointed, how to know that he is with you. He's not going to leave you. He's going to make sure that everything is done decent and in order in his house. And we must in this day and age know that everything has a proper time, has a proper place. And what you need to do with the best of your ability. God chose Aaron and his sons for his priests, but he has given them instruction on what they must do. Bottom line is, we must be prepared. We can't depend on man. We can only depend on God. And oh, and by the way, in my story, I made it to work early because electricity came back on, everything was in place, I walked out the door. God is in charge. And when you say, Lord, I know you're in charge, you know I got to go to work because I work for you. What I do for you. You have called me to do it in this season. And I know that you are not going to let me be late in the Lord. Keep God first in everything you do and watch him work in your life. So let's get in our word this morning. And our word is coming out of Exodus chapter 29, Exodus chapter 30, verse 38, Psalms chapter 26 through 9. And we are, and our title word is coming out of Psalm chapter 20, verse 7. We're coming out of Proverbs chapter 7, verses 6 to 23. And Matthew chapter 25. So if you want to write those down again, we're coming out of Exodus chapter 29 through chapter 30, verse 38. Matthew chapter 25. Psalms 26 through 9. And Proverbs 7, 20, verse 7. So let's get started. Exodus chapter 29, verse 1. And this is what you shall do to them to hallow them for ministering to me as priests. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish and unleavened bread, unleavened cakes, mixed with oil, unleavened wafers, anointed with oil. You shall make them of wheat flour. You shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. Then you shall take the garments, put the tunic on Aaron, and the robes on the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with intricately woven band of the ephod. You shall put turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban, and you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on his head, and anoint him. Then you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them, and you shall gird them with sashes, and Aaron and his sons, and put thy hats on them. The priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. So you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. You shall also have the bull brought before the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the bull. Then you shall kill the bull before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. You shall take some of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger and pour all the blood beside the base of the altar. And you shall take all the fat that covers the entrails and fatty lobe attached to the liver and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them and burn them on the altar. But the flesh of the bull you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. You shall also take one ram, and Aaron and his son shall put their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall kill the ram. And you shall take the blood and sprinkle it all around on the altar. Then you shall cut the ram in pieces, wash its entrails and its legs, and put them into its and put them with its pieces and with its head. And you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. You shall also take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. Then you shall kill the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tip of the right ear of his sons, on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. And you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil, sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments, on his sons and on the garments of his sons with him, and he and his garments shall be hallowed, and his sons and his sons' garments with him. Also you shall take the fat of the ram, the fat tail, the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat on them, the right thigh, for it is a ram of consecration. One loaf of bread, one cake made with oil, one loaf from the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord, and you shall put all these in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons, and you shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. You shall receive them back from their hands and burn them on the altar as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire to the Lord. Then you shall take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration and wave it as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be your portion. And from the ram of the consecration, you shall consecrate the breast of the wave offering, which is waved, and the thigh of the heave offering, which is raised, of that which is for Aaron, and of that which is for his sons. It shall be from the children of Israel, for Aaron and his sons, by statute forever. For it is a heave offering. It shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices of the peace offering, that is their heave offering to the Lord. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed in them and to be consecrated in them. That son who becomes priest in his place shall put them on for 7 days when he enters the tabernacle of meeting to minister in the holy place. And you shall take the ram of the consecration and boil its flesh in the holy place. Then Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle meeting. They shall eat those things with which the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them, but an outsider shall not eat them, because they are holy. And if any of the flesh of the consecration offering or of the bread remains until the morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it is holy. Thus you shall do to Aaron and his sons according to all that I have commanded you. 7 days you shall consecrate them, and you shall offer a bull every day as a sin offering for atonement. You shall cleanse the altar when you make atonement, but it and you shall anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and the altar shall be most holy. Whatever touches the altar must be holy. Now this is what you shall offer and on the altar: 2 lambs of the first year, day by day continually. 1 lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. With the 1 lamb shall be 1/10 of an ephah of flour mixed with 1/4 of a hin of pressed oil, and 1/4 of a hin of wine as a drink offering. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and you shall offer with it grain offering and the drink offering as in the morning for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle, a meeting before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak with you. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. So I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons in ministry to me as priests. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. He's like, I'm dwelling among you, but you got to be holy. Don't come into this temple. Don't come into this place without consecration. We must consecrate ourselves before the Lord. You got to do what you're supposed to do. We are the children of God, and we got to start acting like it. Chapter 30 of Exodus. You shall make an altar to burn incense on. You shall make it of acacia wood. A cubic shall be its length, and a cubic its width. It shall be square, and two cubics shall be its height. Its horn shall be of one piece with it, and you shall overlay its top, its sides all around, and its horns with pure gold. And you shall make it for a molding of gold all around. Two gold rings you shall make for it under the molding on both its sides. You shall place them on its two sides, and they will be holders for the poles which is to bear it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall put it before the veil, that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense. Every morning when he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall not strange incense on it, or a burnt offering or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. And Aaron shall make atonement upon its horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year he shall make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, when you take the census of the children of Israel for their number, then every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord when you number them, that there may be no plague among them when you number them. This is what everyone among those who are numbered shall give, half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. A half shekel shall be an offering to the Lord. Everyone included among those who are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering to the Lord. The rich shall not give more than the poor, shall not give less than half a shekel. When you give an offering to the Lord to make atonement for yourselves, and you shall take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of meeting, that it may be a memorial to the children of Israel before the Lord to make atonement for themselves. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, you shall also make a laver of bronze with its base for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it. And Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it when they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord. They shall wash with water, lest they die. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. And it shall be a statute forever to them, to him and his descendants, throughout their generations. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an anointment compounded according to the ark of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting, all the utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering, with all its utensils and the laver at its base, you shall consecrate them, that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil. Excuse me. Excuse me again. This shall be a holy anointing oil to me through your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it. Mm. So anybody going in, looking at the Bible, trying to make their homemade anointing oil, the word of God said that this particular oil shall not be used on people. He told us that. He said, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generation. It shall not be poured on man's flesh. Nor shall you make any other like it holy, and it shall be holy to me. Whoever compounds any like it or whoever puts any of it on outsider shall be cut off from his people. So it's some oil you don't play with. And the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices. And he said, take sweet spices and pour frankincense with these spices, sweet spices. There should be equal amounts of each. You shall make of these an incense, a compound according to the ark of the perfume of salted, pure and holy, and you shall beat some of it very fine and some of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting, where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. But as for the incense which you shall make, you shall not make any for yourselves according to its composition. It shall be to you holy for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it, to smell it, he shall be cut off from his people. Don't play with God. Psalms 26 through 9. Now I know the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Say, Lord, when we call. Understand, so many people trust in so many things and not trust in God. We got to trust in God. And I have a few life lessons for Exodus and Psalm. And the life, for those that are just joining us, we are coming out of this year, the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And when I say life lesson, life questions, life examples, they are coming from Dr. Stanley. And this first one, life lessons, is this, Exodus chapter 29. And his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. And it says, we must be clean to come before the Holy One of Israel. Under the new covenant, we do this by making sure we have a true heart in full assurance of faith. We got to have a true heart full of assurance of faith. And if you need a scripture to go with that, the scripture is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. That's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. And if you want to hear the word, I will give a few. I may not have time to give all, but I'll try to give some. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 says, verse 19 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And that is hold fast your confession. Paul from Hebrews. Exodus chapter 30, verse number 9. And we're going to go back. A word that's going to be from Leviticus. And that's Leviticus number chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. We'll come back to that. And it says, you shall not offer strange incense on it, or burnt offering, or grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. And we're talking the altar. When Aaron's son Nadab command, the Lord destroy them in fire. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, and I'll come back to that in just a second. God does not require us to understand his will, just obey it, even if it seems unreasonable. Did you hear that? God does not require us to understand his will, just obey it, even if it seems unreasonable. And this is what happened to the sons of Aaron. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And this is what the word says. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. And that is a word all by itself. Psalms chapter 20, verse 7. And this is a title of our lesson. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Can I say, just say it with me. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. We could change this verse to say some trust in tanks and some in missiles, but we will put our hope in the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Armaments throughout history have changed, but God always remains the same. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure to know that our Father God remains the same. Yesterday, today, and forevermore, we are blessed beyond measure. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6 through 23. And when I read this, as a mother of sons, daughters, you have to be so careful. You got to tell your children why you say, don't go here, don't go there, don't do this, don't do that. And it says this, for at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice, and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youth a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near our corner. And he took the path to our house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him with an impudent faith, she said to him, I have peace. I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I come out to meet you diligently to seek your face. I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. Now here's the catch. For my husband is not home. He has journeyed on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. Understand. God is our absolute. Can't be tempted by sin. It's easy. Because sin always looks like it's a lot of fun. You know, teenagers, they want to go to the party, to where it's happening at Boo Boo and them down the street. They want to get in with the in crowd, not understanding the in crowd is not what you think. And all it does is lead to death. But this is what Dr. Stanley says in the life lesson. Proverbs 7 and 14, I have peace offering with me. Today I have paid my vows. People have long used religious language to entice naive believers into sin. Others confuse religious practices with genuine godliness. But we should never confuse sentiment with true spirituality. When we talk about on this blog, you say it regularly, go to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Don't get involved with all the other crazy stuff. You know, because if your pulpit and all they talking is politics and following after this person or that person, doing this and doing that, and we got to fight and we got to do this, but God ain't in it, pack your Bible up and walk out the door. Everybody that hollers, Lord, Lord, may not know him. We got to be very careful who we sit under, that we may not be enticed to death and unpreparedness for the coming of the Lord. For Jesus is coming. But are we going to be ready? And I'm going to read that section one more time, because Dr. Stanley hit it right on the nose. I have peace offerings with me today. I have paid my vow. I went to church. I sang in the choir. I had on my robe. And it was good going down to Boo Boo and them's house after church. Or you have the false teachers saying, whatever you want to hear, for $100, I can give you a prophetic word. All you got to do is flip that to 1 o'clock in the morning. And, oh, for $100, call the psychic hotline, and I will tell you your future. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. And I love this is what Dr. Stanley said. People have long used religious language to entice naive believers into sin. Others confuse religious practices with genuine godliness. Just because you go to church and set your hiney in it does not mean that you know the Lord. Because you go to church and you sing in the choir doesn't mean you know the Lord. Just because you give your tenth doesn't mean you know the Lord. It's got to be a personal relationship. And as he said, but we should never confuse sentiment with true spirituality. We got to know the Lord up close and personal. Matthew chapter 25, kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came, also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." We talked about that yesterday. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. But I tell you this, don't listen to false prophets telling you when he's coming back, because the word just told you again, no one, neither the, he says, therefore, watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. No one knows, not even the Son of Man knows when he's coming. Only our Father God in heaven, our Lord God, knows when he will send his Son back. Matthew chapter 14, verse chapter 25, verse, kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, "Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them." His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, "Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them." His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have made faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own money with interest. So take the talent." So he took the talent from him and gave it to him who had 10 talents, for to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Excuse me, y'all. Just some sinus today. The word just telling us, I love what Dr. Stanley says for this life, lest it's just a life example for this word here. Because when God gives you gifts, you got to use them. You can't set on them. You know, I'm just being honest. You know, God gave me the gift of communication. That's my degree in college. That's what I studied. That's my ministry. I talk. I read. I love the Word of God, and I love talking about the Word of God. Communicator is who I am. I've been talking since I can remember. I was a talking baby because I just like to talk. I'm just being honest. But I'm learning that sometimes you got to keep your tongue behind your teeth. You can't talk all the time. You got to listen and learn. But the issue is, whatever your gift is, if you have a kind heart, then you go into what you can use that heart for. If you have skill, whatever your skill may be, use your skill for the betterment of the kingdom of God. Don't sit on it. Whatever talent God gives you, use it for his glory. You know, I like to say you give your time, your talent, and your tithes to God. Double whatever it is God has given you. You know, I understand that, you know, I love to preach the word of God. I love to teach it. But if I just sat on it and said, yeah, Lord, I know you gave me this gift, but, you know, I don't like to talk. I'm an introvert. I really don't. So I'll just, you know, I'll just sit on it. But when you come, I'll give it back. You know, there are those that have the gift of intercession. They are prayer warriors. But if you don't pray, intercede, you don't do what you're supposed to do. You just, you know, say a little prayer, but you don't intercede for anybody else. You're sitting on the gift that God has given you. But this is what he talks about, slothfulness, in Dr. Stanley's words, meaning basically being lazy. In Matthew 25, Jesus called the lazy servant wicked and unprofitable. That was a very strong rebuke, and we must take heed that Jesus considers slothfulness evil. Yet, what is God's description of a person who is slothful? What does a lazy person look like? And it says the word that describes slothfulness is rebellion. You're rebelling against God. And then it goes on to say, though we do not serve God in order to earn our salvation, our service to God shows our thankfulness and obedience to him. It is the will of God that his children have a productive life. If we refuse to carry out the works that God has called us to do, then we are rebelling against God. Slothfulness is a sin of rebellion. Understand that. It's a sin of rebellion. The second word that describes slothfulness is wastefulness. 1 Corinthians 12 and 7. And we'll try to get back to those scriptures if time permits. God gifts us in many ways, and he calls us to do certain jobs. It is our personal responsibility as good stewards of those spiritual gifts to use them for his glory. Rather than serve our own interests, we help one another, are very self-centered, and waste their gifts on mundane things that have no real value for the kingdom of God. The third word that describes slothfulness is selfishness. Rebellious, number one. Wasteful, number two. Selfish, number three. People who are lazy are not concerned with the needs of others. They only care about their own desires. They prefer to steal and take advantage of others in order to get what they want instead of working for it honestly. Yet to honor God, we must deal honorably with others. The fourth word that describes softness is violation. We are to honor God with everything we do, no matter what our job. We have a responsibility to do our work with diligence, integrity, creativity, energy, because we are representing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us serve conscientiously with the knowledge that we are pleasing God. And even if our employer does not reward us in the way we would like, God will. Proverbs 26:16 tells us that the lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. This is the main problem with the softer person. He thinks he has all the answers. He thinks he can handle everything, but he really cannot handle anything. Softer people are always deceiving themselves about their own abilities of wisdom. In reality, softer people are foolish and very short-sighted. Instead of preparing for the future, they only worry about today. They have no sense of direction, and they do not try to accomplish anything, not even survival. They do not try to do the will of God because they believe that it takes too much energy to serve God. They are just doing whatever it takes to get them through life. Therefore, avoid being slothful and serve the Lord with humility and enthusiasm. Then you will hear the Master say to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord," Matthew 25:23. And that is certainly better than the alternative. Understand, I don't want to be thrown outside in the darkness. Come on now. In the outer darkness, that's what it says. I don't want to be thrown in the outer darkness. Come on, we want to be good and faithful servants to the Lord God. So we're going to go back up into the word, and we're going to look up rebellion. And we're going to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 through 10. And it says this: "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not by yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We have to walk in the good works that God has given us through Jesus Christ. We are the workmanship of God, and we got to act special. And I'm not talking crazy special. I'm talking special to know that we have assignments. And when you have your assignment, when you've been given your assignment, you need to do your assignment. Don't worry about what Sister Susie's doing. Don't worry about what evangelist is doing. Don't worry about what minister is doing. Do what you have been assigned to do. If you have not been assigned to evangelize, don't go out there messing up folks' lives, trying to evangelize, trying to prophesy, trying to do stuff when you don't know what you're talking about, because it's not your gift. But you saw that somebody else did it, so you want to do it too. If it's not your calling, don't try doing it. If it's not your calling to preach, don't get up there trying to preach. If it's not your calling to teach, don't get up there trying to teach. If it's not your calling to speak over someone's life, then don't be trying to speak over someone's life, because you could be cursing somebody instead of helping someone. We want to lift up the name of Jesus. We want to lift up our brothers and our sisters. We don't want to tear them down or run them away from the house of God. Wastefulness. wastefulness, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. We can't be selfish. We cannot be selfish. If I have something you need and I'm not using it, it's selfish of me to hold on to it. I'm just being honest. And sometimes we can all have our selfish moments, me included, all of us. But we got to be not selfish. We got to give what we can to God. And this is what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through a selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. That's a word. But I love it when we go back to verse number 2. And it says that, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, but any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any, I feel my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. We got to care about each other. And number 4, violation. And we're going to go over to Colossians chapter 3. And I just got my note. I don't have time. So let me give you the scriptures for violation. It's Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. And it talks about the lazy man in Proverbs 26 and 16. So those are the scriptures that I was going to try to get to, but I don't have time. But I do have a word real quick from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And our word for today from Sister Carolyn is this. Once you stop adding up all your problems, you'll be able to start counting all your blessings. Have a terrific Tuesday, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And I must say, it's a wrap because my time is running out. I love you all. Be blessed and have a great day. And know that God has got you covered. As the word of God says to us, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Remember the name of the Lord our God. He will never fail you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap. Because we got things to do for the Lord. Do your assignment. Have a blessed day. I love you all. Join me tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time.